Have you ever been working on a project, or you've had something that was taking place, or something that was going on in your life, and even though it was something that you were familiar with, you had somebody in your life that had no clue what was going on come up and make a suggestion? And really, what kind of was going through your thought process was, I do this all the time, they have no clue, and if I can't figure it out, whatever it is that they're going to recommend just doesn't really, you know, have anything to do with the situation. Well, lo and behold, you tried what they said after you exhausted every means, and it worked out. Kind of surprised you a little bit. Well, you know, it's really interesting what Jesus teaches us, as well as what he taught his disciples along the way. As today, we're going to take a look at yet another one of the miracles of the Messiah. This is going to be the miraculous catch of fish. The text is going to be John chapter 21. So grab your Bible. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that your day is going well, and I am so glad that you have chosen to join us today as we take a look into God's Word. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of John chapter 21, specifically verses 1 through 14. The miracle that we're going to be looking at here is the miraculous catch of fish. Now today, as we look at into the life of Jesus' disciples, this is an event that occurred after his resurrection, okay? Now, it provides several lessons for each and every one of us, specifically on obedience, trust, and restoration as well. Look with me, if you would, John chapter 21. We're going to begin reading at verse 14. It reads as follows. It says, "After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, the two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' And they said to him, 'We are going with you also.' They went out and immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning had now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, 'Children, have you any food?' They answered, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some.' So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid on it, and bread. And Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish which you have just caught.' And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, 'Come and eat breakfast.' Yet none of the disciples dared to ask him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then came and took the bread and gave it to them, and likewise the fish. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to his disciples after he was raised from the dead." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you, again, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather around your word. Lord, we just pray that that today your Holy Spirit would use these words. Lord, your word does not return void, but Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that you might draw us close to you. Father, as always, we pray if there's one that's in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, that today would truly be the day they would give their life to you and experience what real living is all about. Lord, during this time, I pray that you will not only speak to our hearts, but that you would give us courage to draw close to you as you show us the way through your word. Now, Lord, as always, I ask that you would be with me as the messenger for these moments, that you would be the one that is high and lifted up. Lord, I truly am nothing and no one without you. So, Lord, use my voice. Use me as a vessel to disseminate your word today. And Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, as we take a look at this passage, one of the things that I've always said that is incredibly important is the fact that we need to have a little bit of context about what's going on in the background of the message. Now, there have often been people will come to me and they'll take a verse and they'll take it so, you know, out of context, really, and they'll say, well, I don't understand what this means. And then I will usually say, well, you know, what does what's printed before it and what's printed after it combined with where you are in the Word, what does that say? You can't just necessarily pull one verse out. You got to look at the context in which it lies, okay? So, you know, the Gospel of John records, you know, several resurrection appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Now, in John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14, it is a description of one of these appearances, which takes place at the Sea of Tiberias, which was also known as the Sea of Galilee. Now, this was a critical time for the disciples because they were dealing with the uncertainty and the confusion about their future. You have to remember that according to them, they had just seen Jesus crucified. Now it's kind of like we've been following Jesus, you know, for these years. What do we do now? You know, you have to remember that it says that when they followed Jesus, it says that they left or forsook all and followed him. You know, you had folks of different, you had a doctor, you had tax collectors, you have all these different professions of what people were that gave up to follow Jesus. So now in their minds, you know, Jesus, they're still trying to wrap their head around this thing. It's like, well, what are we going to do now? Are we going to go back to, you know, what we were doing before? And generally, that's what most people would do. Why would they do that? Because that is something that is familiar to them. We usually run back to things that are familiar when we hit times that we're not really certain. I've always used this expression. If you've been around Central Baptist long enough, this is one of the things that you're going to know. Yeah, there's that an expression that I use. It's called back to Egypt. So you got to remember when Israel was led out of Egypt, when things got tough, one of the first things they wanted to do was go back to what was familiar. I don't want to say to go back to what was comfortable because it wasn't comfortable for them in Egypt, but it was familiar. And that's often what we will try to do. So the disciples were probably kicking this around in their heads. Some of those that were in this passage that we're reading about today in our text, they actually had been professional fishermen. So it was, you know, pretty natural to sit back and think, well, you know, I'm just going to go back and start catching fish again. So it's a very critical time for these disciples with the uncertainty and the confusion about what it is that the future was going to hold for them. Okay, so this passage begins with Peter deciding to go fishing. Now, remember what I said a minute ago? That was familiar, you know, to him. He's like, okay, this is something I know. Let's go out there and do that. You know, maybe it was a situation where he said, I need to get a little change of scenery so I can get some things off my mind. Maybe just need to relax a little bit. Whatever the situation may be, this passage starts off with Peter making a decision to go fishing, which was a return to his former occupation. Now, this is possibly an indication of uncertainty about their purpose after Jesus' crucifixion. Remember, they were pretty much, you know, all in. I mean, it's like, hey, I'm going to follow you. In fact, if you remember what Peter said, Peter was the one, and I'll get to this in just a little bit more in just a moment, but Peter was the one who said, Lord, if everybody walks away from you, if everybody denies you, not me, I won't do it. And of course, most of us are very familiar with that story. Not only did Peter deny, Jesus said, not only will you deny me, you'll deny me three times before the rooster crows in the morning. Yep, same Peter that we're talking about right here, okay? So, you know, he's kind of headed back to, you know, his former occupation, wondering, what's the future going to be? Jesus is not here anymore. I had pretty much sold out to being that disciple, and now everything is completely different. You've probably been at those places in your life where it just seems like everything just exploded around you, the plans that you had made, the thoughts and the ideas that you had, and then one thing came in and just changed everything. Now, so, you know, Peter here is accompanied by other disciples, and they go out, and according to our text, they fish all night, but they catch absolutely nothing. Every time I read this, I sit back and think, well, Peter's fishing luck was a lot like mine. Didn't catch anything. You know, I always like what some of the old timers have said before. They said, yeah, that's why they call it fishing. They actually come by and say, that's why they call it fishing, not catching. So sometimes you have those bad days when you're out there trying to catch some fish. And that's exactly what happened with Peter and the disciples that night. It says that they had fished all night, caught absolutely nothing. So in the morning is where we see Jesus appear, you know, over on the shore, though the disciples don't initially recognize who he is, okay? And Jesus calls out some instructions. He instructs them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. Now, I want you to think for just a moment what that must have been like. If you would have been out there, if you would have been Peter, if you would have been one of the other disciples out there in the boat, and somebody that you don't even know, or you don't even recognize at this particular point, is calling out from the shore, hey, listen, why don't you fish on the other side of the boat? Now, let's put that in perspective for just a minute. Let's just say that you had been out fishing at the coast, and you'd been out on one of the vessels, and you really didn't do that well. You didn't take in a good catch of fish, and you've spent a lot of money, you've spent a lot of time. And so as you're pulling into the dock, here's somebody standing on the shore in a coat and a tie. Doesn't look like they've ever been fishing a day in their life. And they say, hey, how was your luck today? And they say, well, yeah, wasn't really good at all. And he says, well, right there where you are, why don't you just go ahead and cast on the other side of the boat? Well, if you're like I am, one of the first things that you're going to be sitting back thinking is, who is this guy? Why should I listen to him? He doesn't look like he's ever fished a day in his life. So why should I listen to him? Now, remember, in our case here, Peter, the professional fisherman, is sitting there looking at this situation and listening to advice from somebody that, at least at this point in the text, he hasn't even identified as being Jesus. And it's ironic that instead of sitting back saying, man, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, you know, Peter and the fellas decide, okay, well, let's just cast out here on the other side of the boat. I would be willing to venture a guess that 9 times out of 10 for you and me, if you go back to my scenario of the man in the suit on the dock, we probably wouldn't listen to him because we would think that he was crazy, okay? That's going to be a significant point in our text here in just a moment, so keep that in the back of your mind, okay? So it's at this moment, you know, after they cast on the other side, the word says they had an astonishing catch of fish, okay? So at this particular moment, it reveals Jesus' divine provision and authority, turning a horrible fishing night into an abundant blessing. Have you ever had that in your life? I hope and pray that you can truly say that you have. That when you've looked at situations and circumstances in your life and it just seemed like there was absolutely no way out, that the Lord showed up in those situations and not only took care of the situation, but took care of it far and above what you and I would even think that he probably would, okay? So he took this night. They'd been out fishing all night. I'm sure they were tired. They had no fish, and he turned it into this abundant blessing, okay? Now, it signifies the disciples' call to trust in Jesus' guidance, even when their circumstances seemed familiar and unyielding. How easy would it have been for Peter to have said to somebody that, again, I'm pointing this out, he had not identified at that particular point, and said, look, man, we've been fishing all night. I've been doing this for a living. Why don't you just go on down the beach and leave us alone? It would be so easy to do that. And that's what happens a lot of times in this world today. You know, it was familiar to them, But yet Jesus calls out, gives them some a task to do. And they did it. Listen, obedience is huge. When it comes down to your walk with Christ, obedience is 50% of the story. I mean, there are several other points, but you know what? If you're not going to be obedient, then why should the Lord bring blessing to you? You know, I've often heard that preached by a lot of preachers that are a whole lot wiser than I am. I heard one here just recently who said, why would Jesus, you know, do something incredible in somebody's life who is not even willing to participate by being obedient with what the Lord has asked them to do? Now, some of us today that are tuned in, you know, you may be in that particular situation, and the Lord is telling you, cast on the other side of the boat. And you're sitting there going, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. That makes no sense whatsoever. I'm a professional. I've got a degree. I do this for a living. Insert anything that you want to. But folks, let me tell you, Jesus uses the unconventional things to bring about his will. The stuff that you never think that he is going to do, he will do. And it's just, it is so incredible. He proved that. Here's an example of where he did that. I mean, Jesus is telling seasoned fishermen who've been at it all night, you know, you didn't catch anything. Well, you were fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Try the other side of the boat. That doesn't seem like, I mean, I'd be like, well, what's the difference between this few feet between here and here? Well, the difference between that few feet is obedience and non-obedience. The difference between that few feet is whether or not God's blessing is going to be upon you or whether it's not. Think about that for just a moment. Yeah, just a few feet difference. There wasn't that big of a difference between the left side and the right side of the boat space-wise, but the difference was the disciples were obedient. They did what the Lord had asked them to do. Now, this event can be seen as an affirmation as well as a restoration for Peter. Remember Peter? Peter is the one who, and I mentioned it a moment ago, who had denied Jesus three times prior to the crucifixion. Okay? Now, something else that's interesting about that is that when Jesus resurrected, remember when he said, he told Mary, when he saw Mary at the tomb, he said, go back and tell my disciples and Peter. You know, why do you think he would add that? I mean, Peter was a disciple. Well, because of the denial, Peter probably felt like that he was no longer qualified to be, you know, one of Jesus' disciples. He probably felt like, okay, well, I did exactly what I said I wouldn't do three times in less than a 24-hour period. And then, you know what, there were others. Some of the other disciples may have had that same concept. They may have said, well, you know what, Peter's not one of us anymore because of what he did. So Jesus made it very clear to Mary when he appeared to her at the resurrection, you go tell my disciples that I have risen. But he said, you go tell the disciples and Peter. So I believe with all my heart that this event, now remember, this event we're reading about in our text today is after, of course, the crucifixion. And it's another chance for Peter. How many times in our lives have we sat back, particularly in our spiritual lives, and said, Lord, give me another chance. Give me a do-over. And man, he is the king of do-overs. He is the king of forgiveness, specifically where repentance is involved. Where there's repentance, the Lord provides that forgiveness, and he also provides second chances. So with this miraculous catch of fish, Jesus demonstrates his power, and he reminds the disciples of his mission to be fishers of men. You know, it's interesting that verse is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. You know, fishers of men. When Jesus called some of these men, he said, You will no longer be a fisher, but you will become a fisher of men. What does that mean? I know a lot of us old schoolers, we can remember that from the days of Vacation Bible School or the days of Sunday School where we've talked about fishers of men. Well, what that means is simply this. We need to go out and share the gospel message, the death, burial, resurrection, and coming again of Jesus Christ, okay? That is the bait, and we need to go cast that bait before men. We need to be fishing for men that they may give their life to Jesus and become brothers and sisters in Christ. Are we fishers of men? It's kind of funny that I sat back and call that an old-timey statement, but I love that statement. Jesus said, from now on, you will be fishers of men. Not necessarily fishers of the sea, but fishers of men. Okay? Now, the abundance of fish is also symbolic in this particular passage. It symbolizes the success that they will have in their mission if they rely on Jesus. Folks, that is huge. I cannot tell you how big it is concerning the fact that you must rely on Jesus. You cannot do it in and of yourself. I cannot do it in and of myself. It is only through the power of Christ that we can be what he wants to be, that we can accomplish the ministry that he wants us to accomplish. Now, it's interesting that in this particular passage, there was also a specific number of fish that are mentioned. Did you catch that when you were reading it? The specific number, 153, though, you know, open for interpretation, there are many biblical scholars who believe that this emphasizes the precision of God's plan and the comprehensive nature of God's kingdom. You know, 153 fish. Now, I don't think that Jesus went out there and he was going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, he knew the number that was in there because God had provided and Jesus knows it all. But he knew the exact number. That's the detail with which Jesus knows your life and my life. That is the detail with which he operates with you and I on a daily basis. I love where the word tells us this. It says that he even knows the number of hairs on our head. I don't know the number of hairs on my head. You know, I didn't count them this morning, and you probably didn't either. But if you ask the Lord, he can tell you just like that. He is intimately involved in every aspect of our lives. So think about the precision of God's plan in your life. And then the nature of God's kingdom and how it applies. Now, okay, so we've learned a lot of things from this particular passage today. But learning it is not simply enough. You have to be able to apply the things that you learn. Now, we can learn from this account the necessity of obedience to Jesus' instruction. That is lesson number one. You have got to be obedient to the instructions that Jesus gives you. Now, so many times people will sit back and say, well, he's not giving me any instructions. I'm like, he's given you his word. He's given you the opportunity to come to him in prayer. He is speaking to you. The question it may be, are you listening? Yeah, the statement may be, are you listening? See, oftentimes what happens is we don't want to listen when we don't hear what we want to hear. So you got to listen to Jesus' instructions. That's exactly what the disciples did in this case, even when human logic and experience may not justify it. Remember, as we looked at this passage, we said Peter was a professional fisherman. We sent back and said, what difference can 4 or 5 feet, you know, for the left side versus the right side of the boat, what difference can that make? When it comes to the instructions of the Lord, it can make all the difference in the world. You know, that 4 or 5 feet meant the difference between no catch at all and a record catch. Yet, are we listening to what it is that the Lord's telling us? Are we following his instructions, even when it seems like it defies logic? Even when it seems like, you know, you've been doing this for 40 years and it makes no sense to do it that way. So if it defies logic and experience and those two things can't justify it, I'm gonna beg you to please do what it is that Christ has asked you to do. See, in our lives, we face situations where our efforts seem futile, okay? That's the way it is. But trusting in Jesus and following his guidance can lead to unexpected blessing and fulfillment in your life and in my life. Now, not only that, this passage assures us of Jesus' continued presence and provision in our fishing, whether it be ministry, whether it's vocation, whether it's personal endeavors, whatever it may be. You know, Jesus is the one who provides. I can't tell you how many times I've sat back and I've said that. Listen, none of this belongs to us. None of the money you have belongs to you. It all belongs to God. We're supposed to be stewards of that. Your job, you know, your job should be the calling of the Lord. Your endeavor to fish for men wherever it is. See, God doesn't call us all to be pulpit ministers, but he calls us all to minister the gospel where he has placed us and where he has put us. You know, that includes your vocation. Notice what I said. You know, Jesus is going to be present, and he is going to provide that provision in your fishing. Remember, fishing for men, whether it's in ministry, whether it's from me in pulpit ministry, or whether it's from you in your vocational position, or even in the personal endeavors that you go about. You know, it's going to remind us to keep our focus on him and his word. He is the one who provides. Can we say that today? Can we truly say, Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be here. Lord, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have what I have. I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I want to thank you, Lord, for the provision. Why is it that you think that we return thanks before a meal? Because God provided it. How many times have you said, you know, Lord, I want to thank you for the meal I'm about to partake in and the resources by which to get it, whether you bought a steak to eat at the house or whether you're eating out in a restaurant, what you're going to pay with has been provision from the Almighty, okay? So, yeah, think about how we're going to apply this in our lives today. You see, the miraculous catch of fish challenges us to recognize the presence and the authority of Jesus in our daily lives. It calls us to obedience and trust in His divine presence, leading us to spiritual abundance and renewed purpose. I love that thing. What is my purpose in life? I hope and pray you can answer that, that you can say, I know why God placed me on this earth. It's to accomplish, and by the way, it's not going to be for your selfish wants or desires. It is going to be because He has called you to a specific task for Him. Can you say, I know what that is? I hope and pray that you can. If not, listen, hey, give me a call. I'll work with you. We'll find out what that is and get you about the Father's business, fishing for men. Listen, would you pray with me? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank You for the reminders of Your presence and Your provision in our lives. Lord, I pray that You will that You'll help us to trust You more and to act in obedience to Your word. Lord, just as You guided the disciples to a bountiful catch, I pray that You will guide our endeavors to fulfill Your purpose. Lord, I pray that You will strengthen our faith and that You will let Your miraculous power work through us, bringing glory to Your name. And Father, I do pray this prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or you happen to be visiting in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, we would love to have you come worship with us on Sunday mornings. Our service times our service starts at 10:45 on Sunday morning. We do have Sunday school opportunities. We have discipleship opportunities for children through Awana. We've got a lot of different things, but we would love to have you come worship with us in spirit and in truth. So consider that a personal invitation. And when you show up, be sure to come and say, hey, Pastor, I've watched you on the Wednesday Bible study, and I wanted to introduce myself, and I look so forward to seeing you. By the way, let me go ahead and give you what your Bible reading for this coming week will be. And I also want to remind folks, we're getting fairly close to coming down to the end of our season of the Miracles of the Masters, and we will begin a new series probably about the time that we start the new year. I'll give you a little bit more information on that as we get a little bit closer. But anyway, this week I want you to spend some time in Luke's Gospel chapter 13. That's Luke's Gospel chapter 13, specifically verses 10 through 17. And next week we're going to look at the 27th sermon in our discussion on the miracles. And this is going to be the healing of the infirmed woman. So again, that's Luke 13 verses 10 through 17, and I look forward to seeing you next week. God bless, and I pray the Lord's going to do some incredible things through you, for you, and for others through you this week. God bless. Have a great week.